Okay, moving on. This is from at WFO Dicks. All right, that does sound suggestive. I'm not going to give you a whack just yet to get you to smarten up. Went across the noggin how to do you well, but let's move on. Dear everybody's dad, does anal feel like pooping? I don't quite know what that means, but if that is suggestive too, I owe you two. But now here's an interesting thing. This is someone else wrote back on the Twitter at Army Strang, and they essentially answered this person's question. They said at WFO Dicks, it's basically reverse butt sex. I don't know what this means, or if you two are trying to get one over on your father, but I got a couple of answers for both of you. Watch it, and you watch it, both of you, with the suggestions. I think that was suggestive. If not, I'm sorry that I hit you. I love you very much.
Hello and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program, streaming live exclusively on strangelabel.com. I am Mike. I am joined by my co-host Napier.
Yo.
And via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse, everyone.
Hello.
It's Travis Hulse, you guys.
It's me, this guy.
Phone number to call. I don't remember, but you can Skype us at WFO Dicks. I do remember that.
That doesn't require any learning.
All them numbers? We ain't got any time to remember them numbers.
Got a hell of a show for you planned tonight. We have so much to talk about.
636-487-4263.
4263 is hand. 636.
487 hand.
487 hand. You want to get a hold of the show? We got to talk about first things first. I woke up this morning in like a cold sweat, and I was furious.
Are you sure it was sweat?
With the members of the Lotus Cast. And I'm going to tell you why. I got podcast beef, Travis.
Beef wars.
Got podcast beef with the Lotus Cast. Because in my dream, they wronged me.
How did they wrong you, sir?
I had a dream about the Lotus Cast. And I woke up and I was angry. Apparently.
Did they break down like a shopping trip and decide that you spent too much money on your shopping trip or something, so it made you very angry?
No, what happened was they do a lot. They broadcast their video feed on their station. For whatever reason, I'm paranoid about the video feed, I guess, because I'm dreaming about it. I dreamt that they did a video feed somewhere that I was, and then I was involved romantically with someone in the room that they had done their live feed, and then they had the video of me, and they posted it on the internet.
Why are you doing your business where the Lotus Cast is broadcasting?
I guess I forgot the camera. I don't remember what the significance of it was, but the Lotus Cast, they did me dirty. Because Matt sent me like a message that said, you know, hey, I know that this is probably awful and you're probably going to hate us forever, but it had to be done. We posted this video on the internet. So I was really mad at the Lotus Cast for what they did to me in my dream.
In your dream, did they put a like a background soundtrack? It was like all like nature sounds, like monkeys and shit, and going. As you were doing your business,
I don't think I saw the video. I just knew that it had been posted.
Oh, you were aware of it.
Yeah, but that wasn't cool. What you did to me the Lotus cast. When so you it posted wasn't like my sexy video on the internet.
It wasn't like a Farrah Abrahamson, I can't believe you stole my video and posted it online.
No,
it
was I was quite embarrassed that my video had been released. I felt exploited, Travis.
Ooh, felt... How did you get this video with me and porn star James Dean?
Oh, it was released against my will. What will I ever do?
This set was used on 300 other pornographic films. I don't understand how you could have possibly
gotten... Obviously I need to make a sequel just so that, you know, if you're going to release my videos, I might as well do it right the second time.
So did you write Matt Chuck of the Lotus Cast fame a stern email?
I did not. I did not tell him that he did me dirty in my dream. Mm. I did not. He will find out when he listens. And we're dream done, the Lotus Cast.
You're cut off.
You know, I've been thinking a lot this week. Last week, if you missed last week, we had a couple of interviews. And I think last week's show went really well. And I encourage you, if you did not listen to last week's episode, to do so.
It was a festivity.
And I hope that you're carrying over from last week's episode, because that was very strong. And I'm sorry to say, we'll probably disappoint you on a follow-up, because...
Well, what I was thinking about, Travis, and I got several people. It wasn't just one person. It was a couple of people... Mm-hmm. That messaged me and said, hey, I mean, did you guys have a bunch of, like, you know, raunchy shit to say to Chris Hansen and you chickened out or what? And the answer is no.
No. There was the only question. I think you might have had maybe one question. The only question that I had that I wanted to ask him that never came up was how uncomfortable that first confrontation was in the house with that first pedophile for Dateline. That's the only one that I was not able to ask.
Well, and the thing is I mean, I know that we tend to be a little bit on the dirtier side, and I guess we maybe get like a reputation as being like, you know, as like we're trying to like be like shock jocks or something. We're trying to do like an Opie and Anthony thing to be shocking.
Oh, a shocking disc jockey.
Yeah, we're trying to be edgy and shit, but we're not really. I think that like our humor tends to go that way, but I mean, I was just genuinely interested to talk to Chris Hansen as a person. I wasn't trying to like get Chris Hansen on the show and like, you know, say pussy farts to him and then giggle.
Let's corner Chris Hansen and make him uncomfortable.
I think that maybe like people that we've talked to throughout the years or something, maybe like, I don't want to say like we've outgrown things, but I mean like, you know, like let's say you listened to the show like in 2011 and then like you stopped listening and then like 4 years later you come back. And, like, you expect that because, like, you're frozen in time as that until something new comes along and to change that perception. Like, imagine, like, somebody that you knew when, like, you were 15 that you don't really know anymore. I mean, in your mind, that person is that 15-year-old person that you knew until you learn something else. To it's change so much, that perception, right?
Is that it, like that Emo Phillips joke?
Say it.
You're going to have... Yeah. No,
you're going to have to reference it.
No, Travis. You know that Emo Phillips joke.
That one Emo Phillips joke, of course. Yep, it's exactly like that.
He's walking along and he sees an old friend. And he gives his old friend a slap on the back. And he says, how you doing, you old bastard? And his old friend starts crying. And then he realizes later on, oh, yeah... If that was my friend from first grade, he would have grown up too.
That's a good joke. I like Emo Phillips.
But well, I mean, like, yeah.
You bring that up, and it's really funny. I think we live in a different society now to where you can actually evolve with the people that you knew when you were younger. You know, I mean, if you have even an inkling of curiosity about somebody that you went to school with, you can just look them up on Facebook and look, oh, yep, there they are. It's completely different. The one time I was shocked, when I used to be out and about for work, I went to school when I was in third. I bounced around a lot in elementary school, and when I was in third grade, there was this girl, just a cute little blonde girl. As you know, I mean, third grade, there's not really any weirdos, so it was like, you know, some normal people, and this like cute little blonde girl. She had like frizzy, like crimped hair or whatever. And I hadn't seen her since probably fifth or sixth grade, because we moved out of town. And for my job, I delivered products to convenience stores. And I showed up in a town that I went to school in when I was younger. And behind the counter was this, you know, little bit larger gal with jet black dyed hair and tattoos all over the place and kind of looked strung out. And I saw what her name was, and she saw my name on the invoice that I was billing the store for. And she's like, "Oh, you're Travis Hulse. You went to, you know, such and such elementary school." I'm like, yeah. She's like, "Well, I went there too." And then she said her name, and I looked at her completely confused, because this wasn't that little crimped haired blonde girl that I had went to school with that was super sweet. Here was somebody who had obviously been through some pretty trying times, right, and completely changed her demeanor and her look. And it literally blew me away. I've seen people grown up that I went to elementary school with, and pretty much everybody kind of looks the same and is, you know, fairly normal. And here was just this random girl who I thought, you know, this chick is going to grow up and be a doctor or something. She was very smart. You know, and here she is working at a convenience store looking like somebody hit her with a baseball bat 15 times.
But it's weird to think about, like, all the people, all the relationships, all the friendships that you've had in your life, and, like, the last time you encountered that person is how they are frozen with you forever. Like I had a friend in grade school named Tim Nowell. And he was really into Elvis. And he got up every morning and he did his hair like Elvis. And he came to school and he was way into Elvis. And you gotta wonder. I've told the story. I don't believe I told it on WFOD. I might have told it on another show about my friend who used to cut Kathy Ireland's head out of the Kmart ads and draw naked bodies on them. That was Tim Nowell. He was way into Elvis. He did his hair like Elvis every day. And in my mind,
he's a serial killer now, isn't he?
Tim Nowell is still a sixth grade kid with Elvis hair. But I mean, like, I guess if I were to learn what happened to him and see a picture of him now, then it would just shoot back to what it was. And I'm just trying to say, I love doing the show, and I love, you know, trying to do, like, funny stuff. But, I mean, like, really, we're just kind of, like, doing a show about, like, what interests us at the time. And really, the only people that are going to like everything we do is probably us.
Oh, I mean, love it. Yeah.
Like, we range so far on the spectrum. I mean, like, you know, you'll rant about blues hockey 1 week and guns 1 week, and
then Drunk will chastise me for each one of them.
And yeah, and so it's, I don't know, I guess, I don't know what I'm trying to say exactly.
Well, not only do people evolve, but also it really does depend. I mean, we still retain who we are with every person that's on the show. I mean, you can listen to last week's episode and just see how we played off of two different guests on the same episode. I mean, when you have Chris Hansen on, it's going to be a lot different than it's going to be with comedian Shaun White, whose entire debut album is about all of his family dying and his divorce. You know, I mean, that's a lot different than talking, you know, chatting with Chris Hansen, who is trying to raise money to get his show back on the air, right. Which is about stopping pedophiles from raping our children over the internet. You know, it's just going to be, it's going to be a different thing. And if you go back and listen to all of our interviews, which you can do at WFODix.com if you really want to, but you can see we are still exactly who we are. It's just different based on depending on who we're talking to. And it's not that we're taming ourselves. It's just the fact that the material is different and the people are different. You don't chat with the Pope and talk about, you know.
Yeah. So I found it very eye opening that everybody was surprised that we didn't like fuck with Chris Hansen.
We've never fucked with any of our guests. Yeah. Hey, why don't you come on our show so we can shock you, and then nobody will ever want to come on our show again. That's a great idea.
The name really does kind of scream, we are going to fuck with you.
Right. But guys, talking about who we are.
Oh, I want to move on. Before we move really quick, we were talking about Frozen in Time. We were talking about elementary school, and I've not been able to find this girl. If anybody knows Christy Palmer from Plover, Wisconsin, she would have went to Plover Whiting Elementary School, and I want to say 90-something.
You just want to know what she looks like?
I just want to know what her deal is. Her dad was a doctor. They had a tennis court on their property. She was one of those girls that I had the biggest crush on. That I actually would I would call the radio station and dedicate like Brian Adams, "Everything I Do It For You," in sixth grade to Christy Palmer.
You'll see.
That's the one. From Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. So if anybody knows who she is, where she is, what her situation is, go ahead and I just want to know. I'm just curious. She's still that brunette, straight haired girl that I had a crush on in elementary school. I just want to know how you doing?
Yeah, please enable Travis to stalk this lady. Do whatever you can to get her contact information to him.
Anchor in the chat says Travis was attracted to money. You think that seems to be everything that he mentioned? She had a tennis court. Her dad was a doctor. You're motivated by her rich dad.
These are just identifiers. This wasn't, what I was interested in her about. It was just, are identifiers.
The two biggest things were her dad had money, and with that money, they bought things.
Well, that might be something.
Kranz thinks that Christy Palmer's giving hand jobs behind the Quick Trip now. You could probably just go by there and...
Did you guys ever have any friends from high school turn really religious?
Yes. My sister.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
Not only friends, but a close family member.
Yeah, that was fun.
How's that working out, by the way?
It's strange. It's really weird.
At least you ain't got to talk to her every day.
But, you know, the thing is, Travis, I wanted to talk more about, who we are and all that. Did you know that Napier is terrified of bees?
Yeah.
Oh, like my 3-year-old son.
No, probably way worse. I would have jumped off this dude's fucking
Napier was out there barbecuing last week, Travis, and he kept a bee would just fly by and he would run away. Like run away from the bee.
Does he scream like he's being attacked in a horror movie though?
He didn't scream. He'd kind of went, "Ah!" And he'd run away from the bee.
See, if you scream, they can get in your mouth.
It's just really
funny to see him run away from bees.
Candyman, where they attacked with all the bees.
Now, knowing this information, I'm just trying to think of, all of these pranks that I can play on Napier involving bees. I need to get you over your fear.
No, this is ingrained since I was five.
Think the big ones, the big bumblebees, I don't even think they really sting. I think
they sting.
It's unusual for them to sting you.
It is unusual, but when they sting, your arm swells up about 2 times the size of what it was previous to the sting. Yeah. It hurts like a son of a bitch.
Now, the little guys, I don't give a fuck about. Those big bumblebee-looking motherfuckers. My grandma had this
so
house.
You're only afraid of the big bees.
Yeah, the big ones.
I need to write this.
More afraid of the little bees. Those are the ones that will follow you a half a mile to sting the fuck out of you to make sure you never come back.
Just out of spite.
Like the ground bees and shit. They're like gang up.
You know what I don't like? I don't like the wasps because those things look evil.
Oh, no, I don't like them.
Wasps look evil. I mean, bees are kind of cute, but wasps throughout time have always looked evil. If there's a bug movie, wasps are the bad guy. Never made a movie where the wasp was a good guy. Those wasps are mean sons of bitches. They just look bad.
They want to get you, but they're by themselves, right? Like, so wasps and hornets are singular. But if you disrupt like a ground bee nest, or one of those paper nests, that whole goddamn hive is coming out and it's going to sting you until they're all dead.
That's what happened in my girl. Hide
behind the door.
I think my mom once set one of those ground bee nests on fire. Like she ran over a bee nest with the lawnmower, and while it was like idling above their nest, she kept hearing this pink, 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 pink of the bees coming up and hitting the lawnmower blade. And she didn't know what the hell it was, so she took the lawnmower blade away, and then bees every fucking place. And she lost her shit and ran inside after they got into her hair and started stinging.
So the Napier family as a whole have a joint...
Oh, no, these were actively attacking her.
Oh.
But then she came back with a can of kerosene and burnt the fuck out of them.
That's how you set your house on fire, isn't it?
No.
You set all the bees on fire, and then they fly into your house and set everything else on fire, right?
I don't think it
works. That should
like
be
it.
A scene in a movie. We need to put that in a movie. You set the bees on fire, and then the bees all kamikaze into your house and set your house on fire.
So essentially, we just want to take a scene from Arachnophobia and just make it with bees instead of spiders.
Oh, did that happen already?
Yeah. Well, but with a different insect.
Oh, I swear to God, I see one brown recluse.
It'd be an homage, Travis. homage.
Yeah, there you go, an homage.
Yeah.
When you rip people off, you just call it an homage, and it's solid.
Homeowner's not even upset. He's like, well, acceptable losses. We had to kill him. Nothing you could do. That's what insurance is for. What am I supposed to do? Just tell him there were like 30 brown recluses in there. They would have accepted the loss. Way better than having to pay for doctor bills getting your fucking fingers amputated.
I got another bumblebee story.
Oh, great.
This time it's bumblebee tuna.
Oh, I don't give a shit about
my favorite.
Tuna.
Do you like the bumblebee tuna, Travis?
I'm a big fan as long as it's not in oil and is only in water.
Oh, you like the water.
You gotta
have
the water.
Do you squish out the water?
I do squish. Yeah.
You undo the can and then you push the lid in until all the water's out of it, right?
Actually, we have like I would have never bought this thing, but we have like a Pampered Chef can opener, so you can't like actually shove the lid in there. You have to do it like kind of at an angle.
Did you hear that, Napier? He has a Pampered Chef can opener.
That's not all. We also have...
You don't need Christy Palmer. You're already living in high cotton.
We actually also have a specific tool to drain the water from the tuna. It fits perfectly in a tuna can to press out all of the water and or oil through a bunch of little holes like a strainer.
Travis, will you do me a favor? At the break, will you go get that thing and show it to me? Because I want to see it. I want to see your Pampered Chef can opener, and I want to see your water extractor. I want to see all these fancy
openers. The can opener, instead of cutting along the side, it cuts along the top, and it actually takes it at the seam instead of making a sharp edge.
Ooh.
Somebody's too fancy for tetanus.
Wow, I bet he got that at like a fancy like kitchen store. I bet that's not a Bed Bath & Beyond purchase. That's like
Rite Aid.
The Rachel Ray place or something.
Or True Value Hardware.
Anyway, so there's a fella that worked at the Bumblebee Tuna Factory, right? And they
Does
have
he still work there?
No, he's dead.
Oh.
Was it Ace Ventura?
No. His name was Jose. He's a Mexican fella.
He couldn't read the warnings.
And he went in this 35-foot oven and was like cleaning it. And some dude showed up and they're like, hey guys, we got these 6 tons of tuna in the 35-foot oven that we gotta cook. So let's close the doors and cook the shit. So they have these 6 tons of tuna and everybody just thought Jose was in the bathroom. And they cooked homeboy to death in this 35-foot oven full of 6 tons of tuna fish.
Is he okay?
No, he's dead. Oh. So like after like 2 or 3 hours, they're like, you know, where's Jose? We haven't seen him in a while. He's taking a really long shit. And they're like, oh shit, Jose's in the oven. And so they open up the oven and there's Jose. He's dead. So like they charged the operations director and the safety manager. I don't know what they would charge. I guess negligence or something. And they're fining Bumblebee Tuna. The safety manager is responsible because he's the safety manager. But isn't the safety manager position probably just some like perk that you take, and then like you give everybody a training course a couple times a month. And I mean, like, the safety manager isn't necessarily the guy that went and turned on the oven.
He probably is just like a regular employee, and they just said, hey, you're the safety manager.
Yeah, and they probably give him like a 2% raise and say, hey, you know, every 6 months, remind everybody to wear safety glasses.
No, they don't give you any kind of raise. They just, you're the one that's liable for all the safety stuff because your people didn't follow the directions that you gave them.
Now, on my next question, if this happened in the order in which I said, wouldn't the person who broke the safety protocol probably be Jose?
Yeah, he didn't.
Because
let
Jose
know.
Probably should have let somebody know he was going in the oven, right?
Yeah, he should have used his lockout, tagout safety procedures.
Right,
because
I would imagine.
That is absolutely his deal.
So they should sue Jose for killing Jose.
Well, yeah, I guess people win posthumous Oscars. They should fine Jose posthumously.
And third of all, 6 tons of tuna is a lot of tuna. Now, apparently, they cook it in the oven to, like, help seal the tins. And so it was in the tins. It wasn't, like, out there tuna. It wasn't like, you know, he got cooked with a bunch of tuna just like in a big pile. It was like a bunch of cans that they put in this oven to like make sure that they were sealed right or something.
So he was crushed to death by tuna cans.
No, he wasn't crushed to death, but he was cooked to death.
Oh.
In these tuna cans. Now the cans are sealed in a 35-foot oven. Do you discard 6 tons of tuna with a guy in it?
No way.
No, they're sealed. There's no, yeah. I mean, other than, you know, it might be creepy that, you know, for the next couple months, you might be buying Jose
tuna. I mean, what
tuna.
If you believe in ghosts?
Jose tuna?
Travis?
Like all of those tuna cans are haunted?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a guy that believes in ghosts, you think maybe this dude, you know, was cooked to death in this big tin thing of six. I mean, 6 tons of tuna. How much tuna, how many tuna cans is that? How much is one tuna can?
How much is a
couple
single,
ounces, probably?
Yeah.
Couple ounces, yeah.
So 6 tons of tuna is a fuckload of tuna. So chances are, you get some bumblebee tuna, is probably the load that Jose was in, right?
You know what you should do? Go to like supermarkets and put like bloody thumbprints on the tuna can lids. And right on there, Jose was here.
Seriously, though, how excited would you be if you cranked that can opener and immediately, as soon as you broke that seal, you heard, "You got the best tuna on the market!
Ay, 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 ay!
I die for these tuna! These the best tuna you can buy!"
What if he was Spanish?
I mean,
Spanish?
How excited would you be about that?
What if he was regular Spanish, not Mexican?
That was like Cheech Marin. That was Cheech Marin, Jose the janitor.
The license less, yeah. plate on the back of the car.
Guys, you know, this week I didn't tease it ahead of time, but we're bringing back Romance is Dead.
Excellent.
So we're gonna have a drunk sighting tonight. Our
nice
zombie romantic comedy sitcom
with our zombie thing. Host.
It's going to be at the break. Do you want to go to break now? You want to just go, and you're going to go get your Pampered Chef,
I'll go get that tuna
can opener so that. I can see it.
Yep. Absolutely.
See, you have to have like a real love of tuna. Like you have to be invested in the tuna process. If you buy like a tool specifically to extract the water from tuna cans.
Can I tell you how much these tools bought? I never use these things. My wife has bought an apple corer. So instead of using a knife to like cut apple slices, you just shove this giant metal monstrosity that looks like it could cut off all of your fingers and toes in one swipe.
You turn the crank?
No,
and it makes
it's
like
not.
Little
it's...
slices and then cuts out the core. That's what I got. I got a cranky thing.
You just push this thing down and it just like, it cores the apple and it makes everything a slice. And then I got this goddamn tuna strainer that has to be washed after every use when you could just use the lid to make the water go out. And then I have like those fucking corn holders. You got corn holders at the end of your pieces of corn. Guess what? Don't eat it directly out of the pot. and you don't need special holders to eat a piece of corn.
Oh, then it's not as good.
Yeah, then you can't butter all the little pieces.
Yeah, I need
corn. Oh, you can't get that pizza burn?
Yeah.
At the top of your mouth? Oh, you like God. That pizza burn at the top of your mouth? That's great.
I want my gums good. To be bleeding corn.
Like, do you think the guy who came up with the corn holder, he doesn't have to work ever again, right?
No, he's a genius.
I mean, he just chills out at home and spends his corn holder money. Right?
I would think so. Yep. God. You know, if Travis really liked tuna, he should probably just buy tuna steaks and cook them.
I do that, too. I love tuna steaks. They're delicious.
Travis, I really want to see this tuna.
I'll bring it, and then I'll Instagram
thing.
A photo.
If anybody
wants to see the tuna strainer thing, I'll Instagram a photo of it. It's WFO Dicks.
Are we slowly turning into a species that will just kill itself on sloth? We have... We have machines that will make an apple into not an apple with a core, and then we have a machine to drain water from a tuna can.
Drain the ghost of Jose.
No, you can't drain that.
It lives on in your... Now, that's probably a way to go. I mean, like all those people... I'm going to do the math during the break, and I'm going to determine how many tuna cans... is in 6 tons of tuna cans.
That's what you think, but I have to live in this factory forever.
They say till death do us part, but it wasn't quite true. You weren't really dead, and I know I still loved you. Our kids were the same, just a shambling mess, only grunting and moaning and eating live flesh. I made you a vow, and I won't turn away. I'll stand by your side until my final day. I love our dead kids, and I did love you too. But if romance is dead, then I want to die too.
Romance is Dead is filmed before a live studio audience.
You know, Ralph, it's been a long time since we've had a poker night. I've missed you guys.
I guess Dana and the kids have been keeping you busy. I was kind of shocked to get the invite. Speaking of which, where are Dana and the kids?
They're visiting her mother in Kansas City this weekend. Yeah, not here.
Well, that's a shame. Haven't seen the family in a while. It's almost like you keep them chained up in the basement.
They're not chained up anywhere. Shut your lying mouth.
Whoa, Ralph. Buddy, calm down. Juke didn't mean anything by that. He was just joking?
What is that? Sounds like somebody's home.
Huh. Let me go check. Dana, shut up. Go back upstairs. We talked about this. It's my night with the guys. It's just the washing machine. It's on the fritz, guys.
Hey, Ralph, buddy, don't call your wife a washing machine. That's sexist.
Romance is Dead. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Chris Brake.
And John Rapp.
And you're listening to
Strange Label. Hear the Chris Brake Show live Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Or 7 p.m. Central Time on StrangeLabel.com. Or go to ChrisBrakeShow.com for past episodes. This is
Strange Label.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks. We're coming to you live, right now.
StrangeLabel.com. 636, was it 428 hand?
428 hand sounds right.
428 hand.
Let's see, call that number, find out.
Yeah, somebody call that number, see if it works. We're all here. We just did a little dealy with the Romance is Dead.
Excellent episode, as always.
Yeah, and we're back. We got to announce the Flat Drunk winner. I don't think it's a shock. I think the winner unanimously is Jay Adson, right?
Because
he had the Andrew WK and the Guar. And so even if we decided which one of those to pick, it's going to be Jay Adson that won. So I guess Jay Adson's going to be getting his greasy Napier box.
Greasy love box.
Yeah, and that will be the end of the Flat Drunks for a while, I guess, until Drunk either decides to come back or we come up with something better, right?
We could do the wheelbarrow full of boxes.
Explain that to me.
It's like the drunk...
You're spitballing here. Let's hear it.
It's just like the drunk box, only it's we're giving out a box.
A box?
Yeah. And over time, it becomes...
But how do you win it? How do you win the box?
You cut out a wheelbarrow, and you place it wherever you would place it drunk.
What can Jay Adson expect in his flat drunk box?
I didn't think we were telling people.
Oh, it's a secret?
Well, I'll tell them anyway. I didn't know if that was a thing.
No, we've never told anybody.
Okay,
what's
don't tell them. It's a secret. Travis, do you want to talk about the Hollywood Fantasy League while we're at it?
We might as well, right? I think obviously the Avengers motion picture did exactly what we thought it was going to do.
The Avengers had a 66% Metacritic, which is probably not. I mean, it's good.
It's not great. I mean, that's way lower than what I was expecting.
Yeah, actually, you know, our pick in the second round, Mad Max, is currently trending at an 88% Metacritic.
That is getting such... I wanted to see that movie before, but now that all of these people have seen this movie, I am super excited because everybody is really, like, jumping up and down with joy about this motion picture.
I feel like I need to watch all the other Mad Maxes before... I mean, I've seen them, but I saw them when I was a kid. I haven't seen them in a really long time, and I feel like I should probably watch them.
I think you should just watch the movie Bellflower instead of watching any of the Mad Maxes. Have you seen Bellflower?
I have not.
It's good. It's about these dudes that are obsessed with remaking the Mad Max car. Really good, kind of twisted flick.
Well, we have another movie to talk about next week, but Avengers made $313 million in its run last weekend, this weekend.
And that's domestically. I just wanted to tell you that it made another $500 million globally. So it's like at $876 million globally.
That's...
Well, they made their budget back.
Yeah, this is pretty impressive, really.
Mayweather would have to fight almost nine times to make that kind of money.
I forgot who it was that told me, but they said, you know, Mike, you kept calling Manny Pacquiao a Mexican. He's not a Mexican. He's a, what is he? He's a Filipino. So I don't know why I was calling him a Mexican. I apologize to Manny Pacquiao and his entire family. That was
racially
insensitive
Pacquiao.
Of me. Is that the tuna thing?
There's the elusive tuna strainer.
Okay, so you take the lid off the tuna can.
Yep, and do you see it's got a little hand-holdy thing on the side?
Right, it kind of looks like a sewer lid is what it looks like.
And yeah, you could put this in the Ninja Turtles playset.
And you press that down.
Press it down.
On it. But, I mean, what does that do that the lid doesn't do? I guess it comes out of the holes in it?
Well, this goes... it comes out of the holes, so you're not getting it out the sides. It's just coming out all of the holes. And if you have the same kind of can opener where it does just take it around the seam, you can't get that lid perfectly in that can, so you have to have a substitute. So you bought the can opener
right. That
doesn't do what normal can openers does. It takes the whole seam. So now you're fucked because you can't use the lid to drain the can.
Right.
So now you have to buy this piece of plastic to drain the can.
Huh. And you use that a lot?
I do not use it ever.
No.
I still use the lid. My wife still, she uses this little contraption.
You know,
just like that goddamn Apple Corps.
We talked a little bit about last week and the guests we had and stuff, and I remember I believe the clip that we played at the beginning from Shaun White's album was him talking about his dad dying on the floor of a Starbucks and them sending flowers to the funeral. And I was listening back and I was thinking about it. And do you think, how many people you think die at like a McDonald's?
Related to McDonald's or just they got
like
shot?
Like at McDonald's. I mean, McDonald's employs like millions of people. There's 35,000 McDonald's in 118 countries, and they have 68 million customers per day.
Can I say that I would probably rather die in a McDonald's than at my desk at work?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd rather die just about anywhere other than at work. You don't want to die at work.
No, there was a guy in my company. It was last year. It was within the same state. Was it last year or the year before? Regardless, he, 35 years old, he had a headache. He told people around him, he's like, man, I'm just not really feeling really good. And they came back to him. He's like, I think I'll be fine. And then all of a sudden he had a headache and he started getting dizzy. And then he couldn't talk correctly. He started talking gibberish. And then he went down and had like a brain aneurysm at work. Just died, dropped dead at 35 years old in his office at work.
Huh.
Boom. But and I thought, what, that's the worst. I would much rather be waiting in line for a Big Mac, I think.
At least you can die smelling delicious McDonald's French fries.
What mm-hmm. I was thinking, Travis, was with 68 million customers per day, I would say, do you think somebody dies in a McDonald's every day?
Every
day. How long are they in there for?
I mean, they might be in there for 5-10 minutes. If they're dining in, it might be a half hour. If they're with a whole big family, it might be more than that. So, I mean, the odds are somebody probably dies in one of the 35,000 McDonald's locations every day.
I would almost say it would break down even more. I bet you could, like, mark it by the hour. Like, somebody dies in a McDonald's every 4 hours or something.
Okay, but, okay, so, and what Shaun White said was when his brother died in a Starbucks, they sent flowers to his funeral. Now, do you think that there is someone in the McDonald's organization or the Starbucks organization whose job it is to send flowers to funerals when somebody dies at their restaurant?
No, because I think it's just like a McDonald's. It's all franchised. You buy the franchise. So I would imagine it's all due to, it's like,
so it's probably the store manager.
Yeah.
That decides. But I mean, I guess you could probably justify that position though, with that many people dying, and I mean protecting your brand, doing the right thing, you know, sending out condolences from the McDonald's family, you could justify the position of somebody just saying, hey, look, my job is to send condolences when somebody dies in our restaurant.
Yeah, but you could do that with any corporation. Like, you know, there's probably a million people eating Cheez-Its at any given time and that they keel over dead and then there's like a box of Cheez-Its within like 2 feet of them. Like, so is Cheez-Its going to have somebody that like sends a letter saying, man, we're really sorry, but we're really happy that your brother died while eating our delicious cheese-flavored product?
Well, maybe not that. Like, maybe if somebody gets crushed to death with like 6 tons of cheese and then gets cooked in an oven, they might send a card.
Maybe.
But do you think that is a good PR position to take? Is, you know, hey, you know, your brother died eating our delicious product. We're glad he's happy.
How soul-crushing has that job got to be, though, where all you do every day is write condolence letters to people who choked on a McDonald's french fry?
Well, I'd imagine it's just a form letter. I mean, you just got to go to the mailbox and you got to fill out the addresses. You probably don't write a different heartfelt letter every time it happens.
So it's probably the same
thing over and over again.
So really, you could employ a robot to write out the condolence letters to all the dead family members of people who enjoyed delicious chicken nuggets.
You just like put like an algorithm, like, you know, just, yep, like have it and then just like fill in the names.
Oh, God, What would happen if that robot one day gained sentience and went to its corporate overlords and said, "Sir, what is my purpose in life? You're to write condolence cards for people who drop dead drinking our coffee." That robot would fucking murder itself. Like, yeah, I don't want that life.
Yeah, you thought Ultron had a purpose. This fucking McDonald's condolence letter writing robot is really going to wipe out the human race.
I haven't seen The Avengers yet.
Me you either. Haven't seen it?
I haven't, no. And,
it's really
and
it's, good. It's fun.
It's been really difficult for me to avoid spoilers. I've been a lot of things have been spoiled for me. It's really my own fault now.
It will not affect your enjoyment of the movie.
No.
I actively stayed away from spoilers myself, and I only saw it the Tuesday after opening, and I pretty much knew all of these weird spoiler things, and it does not change your enjoyment of the movie at all.
I haven't even watched the trailers. I'm trying to stay away from spoilers so hard.
Well, when are you going to go see it? It's been weeks.
I don't know. When are you going to go see it?
I don't know. I've been trying.
You want to go tomorrow?
Maybe.
I made the mistake, I didn't want to go opening weekend because I didn't want to be in a crowded theater, so I, waited till, a Tuesday night, which is, it is the least active night in a movie theater, so much so that movie theaters have $5 tickets and $5 popcorns and shit. But apparently when I showed up, I realized that every single person in the town that I live in had the same idea that they were going to avoid the opening weekend and go to $5 Tuesday night because there was two seats available when I showed up. I think they turned people away.
You know, and I'm completely changing gears here because I'm thinking about something. I know that we've kind of shit on the procedural cop shows on TV and the hey, we're gonna get a smart guy as a consultant to help the cops. Have you ever actually watched the show Castle?
Nope.
I heard Travis, you've watched Castle.
I've seen 15 minutes at a crack, probably a dozen times.
I'm listening to the radio on the way to the grocery store today, and they had an advertisement for Castle. And in the advertisement for Castle, now you know the premise of Castle, right?
No,
he's like a mystery writer. He's like a James Patterson, best-selling author, and he's so rich from selling all these mystery novels that he just decides, you know what? I'm gonna start paying the cops to let me hang out with them and solve crimes. And so he acts as a consultant for the cops. Because, you know, he writes mysteries, so, he must be good at solving crimes because he writes mysteries, right?
I don't see how the two would correlate.
Well, and also I think he wants ideas for his newest mysteries.
Oh, does he write mysteries based on the cases that he helps solve?
Well, I think typically when you're a writer like that, you try to have resources to come up with things or to be factual, so I think he not only wanted to be a consultant, but also he wanted information for any, you know, future novels that he was going to write.
But in the advertisement for this Castle show, he said this line, and it just made me feel so gross. I got so mad.
And I can't wait. And you have to imagine, what the hell's his name? The dude from Firefly. What's his name?
Castle guy.
Yeah, Castle guy. You have to imagine him saying this line.
This is not how this story should end. And I assume that's a line from the new episode of Castle. But, he's a writer, and he said, this is not how this story should end. Does he say shit like that every week?
I would imagine.
Does he have, clever little writer lines about, stories and that's the end of his chapter. I mean, does he say shit like that all the time?
I'm betting he's just really depressed with, the cases that he's getting. Like, if a cop finds a hooker stripped naked in an alley with a heroin needle in her arm, not really too much of a fucking mystery. you see how everything played out? Dead hooker, heroin needle. All right, mystery solved. We're done.
Right.
That's Tuesday. Coming back tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the thing about these shows is there's never just like a regular case that just... I mean, every case they do is this huge rigmarole. They never just go to a crime scene and go, yeah, this guy hung himself. Suicide. Next, right?
Exactly.
I imagine there's a lot of cases that are pretty easy to figure out. I mean, you go somewhere and a guy shot himself in the head. It wasn't always like a staged thing. Sometimes people just kill themselves.
Yeah, sometimes. Unlike that guy locally who, stole his mother's car, then hung himself in the woods.
What? And
you didn't hear about that?
No.
Some dude locally, he was apparently a transient. His mother had Alzheimer's. He went to her house, acquired her car, dropped the car off in some nondiscreet alley, and then walked 2 miles into the woods, placed a bunch of sticks around that said his name. I think his name was like Ryan or Kyle or something stupid.
So he wrote Kyle in sticks?
Yeah, placed it, you know, beneath him and carved "I'm sorry" into a stick of wood, then hung himself from a tree, and they can't find his mom.
Why did he write the name in sticks and then write a different message in the tree? That seems fishy to me.
Yeah, that's weird. See, that'd be a good mystery. Dead hooker in an alley? Not a mystery.
I think there's more to this case. I don't think he killed himself.
Well, also, they can't find the mom. They, like, have no idea where the fuck she's at.
Where'd you think he killed her?
If she did.
Or do you think she killed him?
I don't know. Apparently she was like 80.
Or do you think somebody killed both of them?
Ooh.
Or do you think they both faked their deaths and neither one of them are dead?
Oh, no, he was dead. He was hanging from a tree. He's dead.
Or was he?
No, some hikers found him. They were, like, poking him. And he's dead.
What are you and Kranz talking about in the chat here about Angela Lansbury? What'd she do?
Well, nothing. Kranz said that Castle's the new Murder, She Wrote. And I said no, because in the original Murder, She Wrote, Angela Lansbury was the one killing all those people.
She killed all of them?
Well, think about it. That show lasted, like, 10-plus years, and she just wrote mystery books, but she always happened to be there to help these little small town sheriffs. They're like this, the town that she lived in probably had about 15,000 people in it, and there was 10 years worth of murders that she helped to solve.
I thought that show ended with like a little autistic kid holding a snow globe.
Like she was in the snow globe the whole time and there was never any such thing as this town that she was helping out?
Exactly. It was all some little autistic kid's dream.
Kid
a Dallas finale.
Dreamt for 10 years about
Angela
Lansbury?
Yeah.
Is Angela Lansbury dead?
I don't recall.
I hope so.
Betty White's still alive.
I don't know. You're right, though. It seems like a lot of murders in this small little town.
I live in a town about that size. There's like 15 grand here. And if I was constantly consulting with the police department about all these murders, eventually they're going to be like, wait a minute. This guy knows a lot about all these murders. We haven't had a murder in 15 years. Now we have one every single week. And this guy
and
knows
this bitch
exactly...
always kind of seems to be there.
Well, it's great that she showed up. I mean, what would we do without her?
It's nice of her to, you know, help us solve all these murders, but it's kind of weird, right?
And then she like
showing up,
and
all of a sudden all these murders start happening.
Yeah.
And then she profits greatly from the successful novel based on this story.
Well, think about the cops. They'd be raking in money too. Got to have all these cops. There's all these murders. One hand washes the other. I mean, what? This is a business.
There was only ever that one sheriff and like his two hapless deputies. So they had no idea what was going on. And she was all like, I bet you, sheriff, that if you go over here, you're going to find about approximately when the murders were committed.
And then
they show up there. And then she's like, well, now that you know this, I bet you if you went over here, you're going to find the murder weapon. And then they go there and the murder weapon's there.
Be like, bitch, how'd you know where that murder weapon was? That doesn't make any sense that you would know where that was.
I wrote a lot of mystery novels before anybody got murdered in this town.
Maybe it was just too fun. Like
I got into
having...
the mind of these fictional killers that I created, and my fictional creation would put the murder weapon there. Wouldn't you feel like an ass If, like, you were so goddamn confident that the murder weapon was going to be in the air vent and it wasn't there, be like, oh, well. it's fucking Dexter went on for, like, what, 6 or 7 seasons?
Yeah.
A lot of serial killers hanging around in Miami. Why are they all hanging out there? Especially since there's somebody killing serial killers.
No, it's Miami. I guarantee you there's a shit ton of dumb shit that goes on down there.
Immediately, there were people on the police force suspicious of what the fuck was going on. Like, within the second season, they were like, Dexter, you fucking weirdo. Are you killing all these people? And he's like, no, I'm not killing all these. I think you're killing all these people. I'm going to make sure that you ain't killing these people by following you all over the place. And then he eventually has to kill that guy that's following
him.
Right,
right, because they're suspicious.
They're immediately suspicious of Dexter. There's no convenient answers to why he's always around.
But there's all these serial killers hanging around in Miami, and they all have cute nicknames, and then they all get killed. In my lifetime, I'm a 33-year-old man, Napier. Not once in my lifetime have I turned on the news and had somebody have a cute nickname for a serial killer around here.
No, they do it for the armed robbers now. They still do that. Like, there was one called, like, the Steerhorn Buckle Bandit.
The Steelhorn Buckle Bandit?
Yeah, because
you just fucking made that up.
That's a bad name. It's not catchy at all. It's
the Steerhorn Buckle Bandit, kids!
He had, like, this little... He had this
Howdy! I'm here to kill you! I'm the Steelhorn Buckle Bandit!
Well, the people who rob these banks, they don't make those up. The FBI names them. Like, not...
The FBI needs to do a better job.
No, they make it silly so that you'll remember them.
Buckle Bandit, fine. Yeah, you don't need all that.
Even Buckle Bandit.
You call Buckle Bandit that's short enough that...
Fuck you with Buckle Bandit. Even that sucks.
It's so you remember them.
It's better, though. Buckle Bandit is better than the Steel Horn Buckle Bandit.
That's true.
If you rob a bank, Travis, you're so goddamn good at naming these people. Let's hear your name for the Steel Horn Buckle Bandit.
That killer guy.
He didn't kill nobody. He just robbed a bank at gunpoint.
That robber man.
Okay, you've got 900 other robber mans.
Anchor in the chat claims there was a woo woo kid. What does the woo woo kid do? He attack people? Well, is the woo woo kid just like, does he flash people? I would imagine the woo woo kid probably flashes people, right?
He might have robbed a bank and go woo 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 all the time.
Yeah, when he was either robbing and or killing and or raping or whatever he did, he probably made train noises.
Or like, if you're robbing a bank and you start like stuttering and mumbling and shit, they're gonna call you Mumbles the Bandit.
That's what they do.
That was a Dick Tracy character.
Yeah,
Mumbles.
It was.
Yep.
We just need to start naming anyone who kills anyone. They don't need to be their name. They just need fun nicknames.
From now on, if
there's a murderer, we're giving them a nickname.
When I was growing up, there was a guy who had killed a bunch of people in my small town area, like within central Wisconsin. They nicknamed him the Rambo Killer because he was stabbing people with one of those Bowie knife things. So, and it was all ladies. He was only killing ladies. And it was right around the time that I think Rambo 2 came out. So
with the big Rambo knife.
The big Rambo knife. He was stabbing them to death. I actually remember coming home one night because my aunt lived with me for a while with my cousin, and we lived in this big, like, creepy haunted farmhouse that my mom could afford, but it, like, the upstairs was, like, closed off because you walk up there and you had this, like, weird chill. Like, it wasn't cold, it was like you just knew that you shouldn't be upstairs of this farmhouse, and that's where I learned how to ride a bike, and that's where I had to eat cigarettes for sneaking one and smoking one when I was 6 years old. But this week we showed up one night from my grandparents' house. It was my mom and my aunt and me and my little cousin. And they swore to Christ that they saw somebody in the upstairs window in the upstairs that was closed off. So they walked in the house and they started shouting things like, I have a knife. I have a gun. Who's in here? We're going to get you. And it was the scariest fucking thing that a 7-year-old boy could ever experience, is the adult figures in his life screaming at an unnamed serial killer that was not actually in the house. The Rambo killer.
That would fill my sexual fantasies for decades. Oh no, Rambo killer, don't get me with your knife.
We're giving them all names though from now on. Just, I'm making a list of anybody who kills anybody in an interesting way, and we're giving them a cool nickname. That's how the story is going to end, and then we're gonna consult the police. We need to start getting police numbers, and we're gonna call them and just tell them that we do a podcast where sometimes we talk about murders. And so we're in a unique position, I feel, to consult them on the murders.
Mike, if there's a lady murderer, can I be the one to name her? Because I want to name her the Maytag Killer for washing machines. No, no good.
So immediately when you send these emails, you have to reference Serial, right? Like, you have to say, hey, you've heard of Serial, right? So you've heard of podcasting. We're going to help you solve. We're going to help you solve this murder.
You know that that Serial lady, she did his podcast and she solved. She didn't solve the murder, though.
But she came close, right, guys?
Really, all she did at the end is say, hey, we did 12 episodes, and I still don't really know if this dude killed the chick or not. Bye!
Well, that's what we'll tell law enforcement.
And it was a very interesting story, and I mean, it was great to listen to. But in the end, there wasn't really any resolution at all. I mean, if anything, there's more questions than there was before.
And that's how good we'll be at solving murders.
We will investigate it, and then we will tell them, you know what? Don't know who did it.
Well, I guess we're at square one, guys, huh?
Like, so, season. So, hey, guys, I got my report. Apparently, this is a real humdinger. I don't know. I don't know who did it.
I feel like the killers bamboozled us all.
You know, there's a variety of loose ends here. We don't have the murder weapon. That'd be nice. and I mean, look, there's a couple of suspects. It's one of them, probably. I don't know. It could be somebody else, though.
It's a third party.
Could have been some damn vagrant. Who knows?
Don't worry. I got my sister. She's going to read their auras.
But I did some podcasts. You could listen to my podcast about the murders.
Good luck.
Now I want to make a cop show.
Don't we have one?
Every week the cops show up and the murder is really easy to solve.
Move over, Romance is Dead. There's a new sitcom coming up.
That's going to be our next thing. We're just going to have two detectives arrive on the scene, and like, the murderer was the husband, and he's right there, and he admits to it. And
yeah, it's not even the husband. It's like the just random killer dude is still there. He's just there. He's the one that called the cops, and they're trying to investigate it.
Be like,
while he's standing in the room.
Be like, hey.
No, guys, I did it.
Did you kill this lady, sir?
Yeah, I did.
Why?
I did do it.
Why did you kill this lady?
No, I just killed her. Does it matter?
No. Is it possible you were framed?
No. I stabbed her in her neck until she stopped breathing.
So you just broke into her house and stabbed her?
There's blood everywhere. It's all over me.
Is somebody putting you up to this? No, is there like a kingpin somewhere that's telling you to do this?
My fingerprints are on the weapon. I'm holding it still. I never dropped it. I called you with the other hand.
Yeah, but
I never put it down.
Who told you to do this? I want the big fish.
Son, who's fronting this for you? Is this a game the kids are playing now?
No, there's no fish. There's no fish.
Sir,
we'll
put you
in
protective
here.
Custody if you tell us who really is behind this.
No, the door was open, and she was by herself, so I stabbed her throat to death until she couldn't move anymore.
Okay, so you had a fond relationship with this lady.
No, I don't know her.
Did she attack you? Was it self-defense?
No, she was making spaghetti.
Okay, so she obviously had a large pot of hot water. What was she doing with it?
She didn't even pre-cook it yet. Like, it wasn't even boiling.
Okay, so she threatened you with a large pot. Let's go from there.
It was already on the stove full of water.
Detective Napier, this is a intricate case here. We're going to have to investigate.
You don't have to investigate. I stabbed her until she died. I'm gonna go outside, smoke a cigarette. I'm gonna let you think about it.
But we have another 43 minutes.
But I'm not going anywhere.
Obviously, this person is suffering from delusions of grandeur.
Right. Are you a split personality? Is the other you innocent, but you're guilty?
Do you have a plastic bag that I can drop this bloody fingerprinted knife into before I go and smoke my cigarette?
It's illegal to litter. I can't let you do that.
Should I hold on to this knife that I killed this lady with?
Yeah, we trust you.
To be continued.
Hold on, wait. I got my son in the car. Could you keep him company?
No, I
don't
hate
worry.
Children.
Keys are right there.
If you
need to listen to the radio.
Maybe this was that serial killer we've been chasing.
The Twix kid?
The Twix kid.
Oh, no, wait. What is the one where...
He leaves a Twix bar at the scene of every crime. Do you see
any... Which one, though? Is it the left Twix or the right Twix?
Another conundrum.
I think there's dual killers out there.
But where's the left one? Which one is the left one?
Is the writing different on them or anything?
Nope.
It's all the same?
Yeah, that's a put on.
I guess you could tell like which is like the smooth side and which is a side that was broken off to determine which one was the left and which one was the right.
I guess so.
Nope. They all look the same.
They're all middle pieces. He eats the ends.
I like that idea. I think that we just need to have detectives who get lucky every week and just find really, really easy open and shut cases. Because it isn't represented. I feel like there's probably... What?
Benny in the chat. Excerpt from Rambo Killer's Diary. Watched a kid eat a cigarette today out my window. It was hilarious.
Let's say you're a homicide detective. How many cases do you think in your typical month are like really easy to just determine the cause of death and probably who did it? And I would imagine probably you think 60-70% are pretty easy, I would say. Or like,
I think usually somebody said Latuan exited the apartment after I heard the lady scream and a gunshot go off.
Right, or it was done somewhere in public and somebody saw who did it. Or it was done, you know, people got in a fight at a bar and the guy who killed him, you know, somebody went to college with him and knows him. I would imagine that it's probably pretty easy to solve quite a few murders.
You'd think so.
We should be murder detectives.
I don't even think you have to go to school for that.
Do you have to get like a criminal justice degree to be a homicide detective?
You have to walk the beat for a little while. You know what I mean?
You have to be like a regular cop.
Yeah, you just have to give up.
I don't want to do that. I want to go out there and solve some murders. No, I gotta be good at it, guys.
You just gotta give out baseball cards to kids, and then you can.
Yeah, like I mean, I watched Law and Order for years. Back in the day, my parents would watch Law and Order, and I'd sit there and I'd watch it with me because I didn't want to go to bed yet. I watched Law and Order, and I mean, I know all that shit. I know where the murder weapon probably is. I'll say, and the murder weapon's over there because I watched Law and Order.
I always watch The Equalizer, so he usually put people down.
Oh, he didn't send him to trial.
Nah, he fucked. He didn't fuck around.
No. See, that's good, too, I guess.
I used to watch Duckman as a kid. He was a private detective.
So you'd be good at being a duck?
Yep.
Man. The only other thing that I have to talk about is apparently in Venezuela, the president of Venezuela was out like doing like a parade or something, and he was like waving and stuff, and some gal ran up to his motorcade and chucked a mango at him and hit him in the head.
Did she write anything on it?
She,
like Jill?
She wrote a message on the mango that like she wanted him to get her an apartment because she couldn't afford one. And so he went on TV a couple days later and he had the mango and he's like, hey, you know, this bitch threw a mango at my head and had this message on it that she needs an apartment. So I'm going to get her an apartment. And so now in Venezuela, apparently there's this epidemic where people keep chucking mangoes at the president's head with messages on them. And he's like granting their wishes like some kind of goddamn fucking fruit pegging genie. And like he's urging people to just hand him the mangoes. But I guess they can't get close enough to him to hand him the mango. Because I imagine he has people, which they're probably doing a pretty shitty job if he's getting pegged with mangoes all the time.
What are they going to do, shoot the mango out of the air?
Well, I mean, you know, if a fella's running up to your president with a piece of fruit in a throwing position, then you tackle him.
Because you don't want... Sweet, I think Napier just came up with a sweet app. It's the Venezuela president protector. You shoot, all it is you shoot mangoes out of the sky. It's like a podium. You're behind the president who's giving a speech.
You know what would be really cool?
Shoot the mangoes.
If you did it with a ninja sword. Like just a game where they throw a bunch of fruit up in the air and then like you swipe and cut the fruit in half and it makes like ninja sword sounds.
Oh my God, I got a great idea. When you cut the mango, you literally kill the spirit of their dreams. You know, like new apartment dead ghost just comes wafting out of the mango.
And so then,
like a full-time job does.
And so then that makes your wishes harder to attain. Because, like, some mangoes might get through, but there's, like, a whole line of dream killers in the way with ninja swords.
Or you acquire those dreams for yourself. Like some mango succubus.
I would... Now, if I'm the president, and somebody chucks a goddamn piece of fruit and hits me in the head with it...
Keep in mind, president of Venezuela.
I'm gonna tell that bitch, yeah, I'm gonna get you an apartment, show up here... And I'll get you your apartment. And when she shows up, I'm going to execute her for throwing a goddamn piece of fruit at my head. Rule with an iron fist. You don't throw fruit at my goddamn head. I'll teach that bitch. I'll do it on TV, too, so motherfuckers know not to throw goddamn fruit at my head. I'm an important dude. I don't get fruit thrown at my goddamn head.
I don't know if you knew this, but I'm the president of this country, and I'll kill you.
Right. You want an apartment? How about you quit buying goddamn fruit to throw up my head and go fucking pay some rent?
Yeah, you're wasting good fruit.
Give some hand jobs behind the Quick Trip, like, what's that gal's name? Christy,
Brinkley?
Yamaguchi.
The gal that Travis was... Christy Palmer!
Do you think being the president of Venezuela is like being, like, the head shift manager at an Arby's? Probably make about the same.
You think?
Yeah, but you get all the roast money. Beef you could eat.
And you get to execute people who wrong you.
Right, just like at Arby's.
He probably kept the mango because he was hungry.
No, it had writing on it. I wouldn't eat a mango that some crazy broad threw at my head.
Why?
She tried to harm me with the mango. I'm not going to eat the mango. I'm the president of Venezuela. I can afford a goddamn mango if I want to.
Could you imagine though if she didn't have ill will there, where she was like, "Man, I really need to get. I voted for this guy. I really need to get him a message. What's the best way? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a message on this delicious mango and present him with a delicious fruit. And I'm going to throw it to him so he can eat it. But before he eats it, he's going to see my message.
You know, she probably tripped. She meant to hand it to him. It just flew out of her hands.
You think?
Yep. Now it's like
pegged
this whole
the guy
thing
in the head.
Yep. Total accident.
Well, guys, I mean, we're coming up on the end of the show. Travis, did you learn anything this week? Would you say it was a successful journey?
I think it was a success. I mean, every week I feel like we've grown more as people. You know, we've kind of been a little bit more introspective. We thought about what it's like to be frozen in time. I was looking at some pictures earlier today that I was like, man, I can't believe I used to be that young. And I kind of looked over that point in my life and, you know, my pre-WFOD days. I just think, you know, we're growing as people and we're growing as a show, you know. So yeah. I'm glad that everybody's along with us.
We've got a dad's house. We've got our own place.
Mm-hmm. I want to keep trying to do a funny thing, and I mean, I guess the spirit of the show is to try to make people laugh, I guess, but it's not all we want to do. We want to do all kinds of stuff.
We want to make people think also, you know, about it.
No.
I want you to think about hiring me to solve your murders.
Yeah, and also about how futile life is.
I want everyone right now to get out a piece of paper and write on a piece of paper and, like, put it in a drawer somewhere. If I'm murdered, I want Mike from the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program to solve my murder. Mm-hmm. And somebody will come to your house if you're murdered, and they'll probably search through everything looking for clues, right? Put it somewhere people will find it. Put it somewhere conspicuous. And then they'll call me. And at what? What is it, Travis? 636-428-HAND?
HAND.
Call us at 636-428-HAND. And they'll say, hey, Mike, this fella was murdered. And he wants you to be in charge of the investigation. So we're going to...
636-487.
Damn it! I've been giving out the wrong number. That's why nobody called.
Yeah,
636-487-HAND.
There is no phone number. That goes nowhere, just to let everybody know.
So try it. I dare you.
Yeah. Guys, I can't be any worse than anybody else, I would imagine. I'm pretty bright fella. I think I can help you.
What if the cops think that the little messages that everybody keeps leaving
everywhere. You write it on a piece of paper. Anchor's got it right. You write it on a piece of paper, put it on a magnet on your fridge. If murdered, contact Mike from WFOD at 636-487-HAND so that he can consult you in investigating.
Mike, I want to play a game with you.
Okay.
Your name is now Steve.
Steve.
Hey, Steve, I keep seeing this running pattern of all these dead people having these notes all over their apartments about how we should contact this one dude to solve all their murders. I think we should investigate this guy for murdering people. What do you think, Steve?
It works. Your phone number works.
Yay!
Yay!
All right. Have a good night.
Who was that?
Before Napier tells us what he learned...
Was that Benny, maybe?
No, it's a conundrum.
Guys, the phone number works.
It's just a bunch of numbers.
So do that. Write that phone number down. I'm going to put the phone number down at the bottom of the chat page here.
It's also on my Twitter profile. I have it right prominently there to leave us a voicemail whenever you would like to do that. Well, you don't have to call when the show is on. Leave us a voicemail. We would like to hear.
We need to bring back the daily poll. The question this week will be, do you trust Mike to solve your murder?
And the answer is, of course.
Right.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Before Napier tells us what he learns, I want to say two things. I'm going to give away my copy of Todd Glass's book this week, I think. I read it. Mike, you read it, didn't you?
I checked it out from the library, but yeah, I did read it.
It was a very fast read. I enjoyed it very much. I'm going to pass it along. I was going to keep it to try to get him to sign it, but at the same time, I don't... Why do that? You know what I mean? So I'm going to pass
because Travis isn't a collector of memorabilia and useless things.
you know, I'm looking at all this shit that I have signed and stuff. I'm like, why? You know, it's I have like a signed T.J. Miller CD as well as one of his stand-up specials. I have signed CDs from bands that I like, but really, like, why? What does it matter? So I'm going to give away this Todd Glass book on Twitter. I'm going to shoot out a tweet this week sometime. Follow me at Produce Travis. I prefer it not to be somebody who is friends with us. You know what I mean? So follow me, retweet something. I'll shoot that out. Also, I just got my copy of Shaun White, last week's guest, Dead and Gone, this week from a special thing records. I advise you to get it. The box art alone is worth it after you listen to the special, because it's kind of twisted and a little bit morbid, but also very funny. So follow him at Shaun White Comedy, and buy
this. I bought it too, so I guess his appearance sold him at least two CDs.
I think three, because didn't also Matt Chuck from the
Matt
Lotus
Chuck
cast.
Said that he bought it too, yeah. So,
so he got...
We sold him three CDs, and the WFOD bump got Chris Hansen's Kickstarter funded too.
Yep, last week
it was all us guys. So
last week we got the WFOD bump. Shaun White got three CDs sold, and Chris Hansen is now able to make his Hansen versus Predator show.
We're kingmakers. So get on the train, god damn it. Napier, what did you learn?
I learned that Betty White as a detective would be way better than Angela Lansbury. Well, that's my mama.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9/8 Central on strangelabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at wfodix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week.
Mike, I have 9 things in my notes for this week, and I crossed off one of them. Isn't that something?
That's so fun. Next week will be the Travis Show. Travis Show, guys.
I don't want that.
Every week is the fucking Travis Show for me.
Everybody clap your hands for the Travis Show. Travis Show.
Cocaine. Oh.
TravisShow.com. Call 636-478-HAND.
487.
Hand.
Give us
Travis
a hand
for the Travis Show.
Hey, fuckholes. Fucking Skype call back. Oh. Hey, found him.
Are you drumming with your belly? You gonna play the drums with your belly, Nate?
Let's get some percussion.
It's like the tune for a generation, you know?
Do our bellies make different sounds?
Yeah.
I guess they kind of do, right? Yeah.
We could be the Fat Man group.